And now to a curious and concerning medical condition that often goes under the radar at the doctor's office. If it's not treated quickly, it can permanently affect your sense of hearing. James Bullen has more.
I woke up one morning, a Saturday morning, and I suddenly realised that I couldn't hear out of my right ear, and there was this rushing sound of wind the whole time. And I hadn't had a cold or anything, so I thought, this is a bit strange. But I thought, oh, things will settle down. It's just one of those things. By the time I got to Sunday, I was getting quite concerned about it. I thought it was nothing, but I thought I'll just pop along to the GP and see if they say what it is or if they can help me or whether they tell me I've got nothing to worry about.
Helen's visit to the GP confirmed she did have something to worry about.
She had a look of horror on her face when I said this had suddenly come on, and she said this is really serious. She mentioned something vaguely about steroids, but then she said you need to get yourself to the emergency room at the hospital as soon as possible. So by 9 o'clock I was down in the emergency at the local hospital. I was shocked because I thought it was nothing. They might just say, oh, you've got a blockage in your ear or whatever. So I was quite concerned about the fact it had happened so quickly. But when I got to the hospital, I didn't have to wait long. It was Sunday morning, it was early before all the sports injuries came in. And I was taken to see a registrar. He was a general registrar, wasn't an ENT. And he did some very basic tests with me with a tuning fork, but it was in a noisy emergency room, and he said, no, I can't see there's particularly a problem. And he vaguely mentioned steroids, and he said, go and see an audiologist at some stage, and that was it.
So Helen says the GP is horrified, but the registrar isn't fussed. What about the audiologist?
So I went to see the audiologist on Tuesday, and he ran the tests and he said, yes, you've lost a lot of hearing in your right ear. He said, I think people are given steroids for this. Again, a very general comment. And he said, you need to go and see an ENT specialist as soon as possible.
It's a very innocuous symptom initially, where the patient mostly presents with a blocked ear. And we've all had blocked ears from time to time. But this is a blocked ear that usually happens completely out of the blue. Or it could be a worrying symptom where you wake up in the morning with a blocked ear and you've got a lot of ringing or tinnitus in your ear and you've been previously very well.
Professor Peter Friedland is an ear, nose and throat surgeon, an ENT. He practices in Perth.
Unfortunately, it's often brushed off and the patient isn't taken very seriously or they're dismissed because it can be related to many other causes, which are far more common. Hence, it's not investigated as a possibility of causing this sudden loss of hearing, which can be permanent.
The technical name for this unexpected loss of hearing is sudden sensory neural hearing loss. It's also known as sudden deafness. Estimates of how many people are affected by sudden sensory neural hearing loss vary wildly. The medical literature suggests it's anywhere from 5 to 160 people per 100,000 each year. That's a pretty loose statistic, but what we can say is that it's uncommon, but not unheard of, and is often missed by doctors.
We often see patients who present and say, you know, I lost my hearing 3 years ago. And it was sudden, and I woke up one day, my ear was blocked, and I lost my hearing. Or they'll come to us after a couple of months and say, well, I did go to the clinic, and I was given antibiotics, so I was told there was nothing you could do. So I don't believe that the figures that are represented in the literature are completely accurate.
For those who find themselves suddenly deaf in one ear, it can be overwhelming. Overnight, ordinary events became distressing for Helen.
It was frightening. I went with my husband because we planned to go out on the Saturday night. I went to the cinema. That was all right because it was loud. And then afterwards, we went out for dinner and it was just dreadful. The sound was bouncing off all the walls and it was actually making me feel dizzy. And I realised we were sitting there and I was just lip reading what he was saying, basically. So we finished up and went home. I went to work, tried to do all the normal things, but I realised I couldn't work in the normal way I do. I work in an open plan office, and you realise how much you need good hearing to hear what, especially what my team was saying to me. I had to get them to come over to me every time they spoke. It was disorientating, and I actually cancelled a couple of social events because I couldn't bear to go out of how I was feeling at the time.
The hearing loss is one thing, but tinnitus, a ringing, roaring or rushing sound in the ears, often comes with it.
Ultimately, all these patients develop tinnitus. And unfortunately, this tinnitus can be absolutely devastating and roaring tinnitus that develops over a period of days, 2 weeks. The loss of hearing is devastating because we need both ears to hear with for safety of crossing a road, for having a conversation with background noise, for localizing sound. But somehow we can compensate and it's silent. However, the tinnitus can be very booming, it can be intrusive, it can affect sleep patterns, quality of life, and it's permanent.
So what causes someone to suddenly, without warning, lose their hearing?
In the vast majority of cases, we don't know. It's idiopathic. We think that it may be a viral etiology. Other causes we think about are vascular causes, and this could be a bleed within the so-called labyrinth of the inner ear, or it could be decreased blood supply to the inner ear. We know that the blood supply to the inner ears is very tenuous. There's one single little artery that supplies the blood.
So a virus or tiny amounts of bleeding or inflammation may be somehow disrupting the workings of the cochlea, a spiral-shaped cavity in the inner ear which helps convert vibrations into electrical signals for the brain. In other cases, the hearing loss is because of benign tumours that grow on nerves in the ear that disrupt hearing. You can see them on an MRI scan. But most of the time, we really don't know what's going on.
In 90% of the cases, and this is worldwide figures, we do not find a cause, and we only find a cause in about 10%, 1 in 10.
Though what causes sudden deafness is often unknown, we do know what helps to treat it. Oral steroids. But the window to give steroids and save someone's hearing is just 3 days. From the Saturday morning when Helen woke up without hearing in her right ear, the clock was ticking.
I was going around in circles, really, and by this stage I'd been told that you had to have steroids. First of all, I was told within 48 hours to make a difference. I've subsequently been told it's not 48 hours. You've got a longer window than that. But this is what I was working with at the time.
And yet no one really knew whether or not you should be given steroids, or at least they weren't prescribing it.
They weren't prescribing them, no. People had heard, I think, that steroids are a good thing, but I hadn't been prescribed them at that stage.
Helen had already seen 3 health professionals, a GP, the registrar in emergency, and the audiologist. It was Tuesday evening when she went back to see a second GP.
This GP said you should be on steroids. He said, I don't know what the ENT specialist is going to say. He said, but I'm going to put you on steroids immediately because that's what you should be on. So I started them within an hour. I was taking the steroids.
And so then you visit the ENT. What did he say?
He said that was the best thing that GP could have done for me. So I'd been on the steroids by that time for 2-3 days by that stage. And he said he could have saved my hearing, the fact that he moved so quickly and he got me onto the steroids so quickly.
Helen's ENT was Professor Peter Friedland. Professor Friedland says while oral steroids do come with some side effects, it's important for patients to be offered the choice.
There are risks, short-term risks of steroids that can cause a mood disorder, a bit of anxiety, some dizziness, inflammation of the stomach, certainly insomnia and other side effects in the very short term. But if you weigh this up against the long-term effects, the lifelong effects of hearing loss and this debilitating tinnitus, that argument needs to be offered to the patients.
Steroids don't always work. About 2/3 of people who get steroids in a timely fashion do improve, but the other third don't. Helen was one of the lucky ones.
By the time I actually went to see the ENT, my hearing was starting to improve, and certainly within a week, it had improved remarkably. I went back to the audiologist and he couldn't believe how quickly my hearing had come back.
When steroids don't work, there's another option for treatment, hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Hyperbaric oxygen is giving patients 100% of oxygen so that the oxygen they breathe in is 100% rich, and that oxygen and that blood is supplied to the vital organs that may be deprived of blood supply and oxygenation.
The rationale for this treatment is that injured tissue may need more oxygen than usual to promote healing. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy increases the amount of oxygen your blood can carry, which promotes healing and the fighting of infection. If the inner ear is somehow damaged, improving the oxygen going to that area might help heal it.
If we believe that there's been ischemia or decreased blood supply to the cochlea or decreased oxygenation to the cochlea, then by giving hyperbaric oxygen, we're increasing oxygen perfusion to the cochlea and improving the healing and the repair of the inner hair cells and the membranes within the cochlea.
The treatment sounds a little futuristic.
They really go into a chamber, and it's like a dive chamber, and that hyperbaric oxygen is given to them, and they usually have to spend at least an hour in that chamber, and it's recommended to have 10 to 20 treatments, which is about 20 hours of treatment.
Like steroids, time is of the essence, and it's expensive.
Most of the hyperbaric chambers are in academic hospitals. They charge about $500 an hour, and it's not always readily available when you need it.
Evidence on the effectiveness of hyperbaric oxygen is mixed. Recent reviews suggest the treatment does seem to benefit patients, but the extent of the benefit and the optimal treatment strategy still aren't clear. And Helen? She made a full recovery, and she's become committed to raising awareness of sudden deafness.
Anyone who cares to listen, I will tell them about if your hearing suddenly goes, don't just dismiss it. Because one thing that really stuck with me that the ENT said was that he has people coming to him, you know, a couple of months down the line, and they go, I've lost my hearing, I'm a bit concerned about it, what can you do? And he said, it's too late by then, the nerve damage is done and there's nothing can be done. So it's a question of moving quickly and pushing to make sure that you get the treatment that you need early. That speed is of the essence with this situation.
Helen, who's experienced sudden deafness. Ending that report from James Bullen. I'm Norman Swan, and that's been the Health Report for this week. See you next time.